Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You've raised and nurtured them, made them the focus of your life, and always put their needs ahead of yours. Now your child has left home, and even though you knew this was coming, their departure leaves a huge gaping hole in your world. Even the most well-adjusted, career-focused, and even-keeled among us can't help but reel from the knowledge that at the end of the day, you face an empty nest now that your kids are gone.
Empty nest syndrome isn't just a phase you pass through. It signals a tremendous upheaval in your life. For the primary parent involved in child rearing, typically the mother, the empty nest is a time of transition, and let's be honest, for some parents, a time of grief. On top of that, our child-centered culture, in which many moms regard their children as close pals, exacerbates the situation. Joining us to discuss empty nest syndrome is Kimberly Key, a psychotherapist and nationally certified counselor who specializes in holistic human development. She founded Encompass Work and Family to help people evolve through each of their family, career, and lifespan stages. Welcome to Take Care, Kimberly. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Empty nest is a very real thing for many people, although I'm sure it's on a spectrum, but some people really do feel it profoundly. Would you talk about that?
Absolutely. I will admit that I am biased because I'm one of those parents who felt it profoundly. I was a single mom. I guess I technically kind of am a single mom, and my daughter grew up. We were very close, as you mentioned in your introduction. We were kind of buddies, and everything that I did revolved around raising her, trying to do it the right way, getting her in the good school districts, learning psychology, trying to be that really good parent. And then she went off on her own, which I knew I had to let go. And it was a profound shift for me to kind of refocus and go, okay, what's important for me now? What do I want? Because for so long, the goal had been do what's best for my child. And I think any good parent who really puts their kids first can't help but have that moment of, oh, what now?
Would you say that empty nest syndrome is a relatively recent condition? Because, you know, years ago, children didn't move far away. We were in such a child-centric culture, and we really didn't put our children's needs ahead of our own.
That's absolutely true. In fact, one of the things that we can see, like college counselors, college professors will talk about this all the time, how in the past, really 5 years especially, they are getting calls from parents all the time. Like in high school, you're supposed to kind of back off with your kids. So I almost see that as a cultural shift of not wanting to let go, of still being this active parent as though our children are in elementary or junior high school. And that's not always to their benefit, clearly, because then that kind of cuts their legs off a little bit. And I know that right now a lot of people are saying that we have the boomerang generation where kids are moving back home and they're pointing out the recession and that we have high unemployment rates, so therefore kids aren't having, you know, they're not able to be self-sufficient. I can't say that this is the direct cause. I just can't help but notice the statistics that has happened at the same time that parents have kind of not let go and been over-involved in their children's college education or life. So it might be something for people to really look at. Are we grieving, and do we need to grieve and let go, or are we still accidentally clinging to them?
Some people are blindsided by a tremendous sense of loss, even though you know as the years are going by, and most parents will admit their job is to have an independent and successful child, and we're supposed to step away, and very often our teenagers force that on us, and we are gradually supposed to let go, and the end result is supposed to make us very happy that they're independent from us. But on the other hand, even though we know that's coming, the sense of loss when it's finally there, when they leave, for whatever reason, maybe they have been living with you and they moved away, or they go into the service, or the last one left for college or started their own life across the country, we know our goal is to let them go. Why then is it so difficult when it finally happens?
Well, as I said, even in my own experience, my whole life was focused on my daughter. and her upbringing, as I think so many people are. We really, you know, why do we move into houses? You know, we want our kids to have a backyard, or we're thinking about where, what's a safe neighborhood for them? What's the best school for them? You know, how is their homework? We need to go to bed at this time, have dinner at this time. We try to create this structure. So when they're gone, and I'll tell you, there's this little video I saw with the robin. And the robin is coming, and, you know, the little baby robins are born. You know, the eggs crack. They're born. So the mommy bird keeps bringing these little worms to feed all the babies. And then one day they grow up, they leave the nest, and the mommy bird shows up with a worm in her mouth, and the nest is empty. She drops the worm. She starts kind of pecking around the nest. And I think that's that little grief process we go through, that cognitive dissonance. Like, I've been in this behavior, this conditioned behavior for so long that, oh, my God, now what? And then she flies away. Any good parent is going to have that same thing because they put their children first on some level, and now all of a sudden that goal, that focus is gone. There's a readjustment period.
So if you were giving advice to a young mm-hmm. mother or father, and you could see that they were getting right into the same pattern, and you can even relate to the approach they were taking to child rearing and put their children first, would you have different advice or advice to help somebody along so that they can avoid getting into that situation?
Okay, I love that question. And I do think that the empty nest syndrome is, it takes time. It is, it's almost, and I was thinking as we were preparing for this, that it reminds me of when my Lamaze teacher told me what to expect as I was giving birth. And there's all these transitions that you don't know, you can hear they're going to happen, and then you go through them. And you can never really understand until you go through them. So this whole transition of the empty nest, it's not like you can go change your parenting. I still say put your children first, be the best parent you can be. And, yeah, there's going to be some difficulties. You're going to have to adapt to this transition just like a birth. And it's the birth, really, of yourself. So, for instance, I think you read an article that I wrote for Psychology Today about the empty nest. And I looked back at that article, and I wrote that article as my daughter was leaving for college. So technically she hadn't left the nest yet. 4 years later, when she graduated college, after she moved back to town and I didn't really get her back, I really felt a deeper sense of this empty nest syndrome that we're talking about. That's 4 years later. So that transition, it doesn't happen just overnight. It's a process, like all things. And in looking back at that article, I thought, okay, I said these are parenting pearls learned along the way. Love your kids unconditionally. Kids are spoiled by things, not love. So, you know, give them love. Be consistent. Trust your kids. I would take that advice and turn it back on to the parent who's experiencing the empty nest. Love yourself unconditionally. This is your time to birth your soul. And the focus gets to shift on you now, where you kind of get to parent yourself. So that's the opportunity. And it's not a one-night fix. It's a true transition. They're transitioning into adulthood.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, Conversation on Health and Wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking with Kimberly Key, a psychotherapist who specializes in holistic human development, about the empty nest syndrome. Kimberly, you've alluded to many aspects of why it is hard to change that emotional focus that we've developed. And, you know, for some of us, it's 18 years of a child in the home, at least. I mean, if we have many children, it can be 20, 25. But as you pointed out, it's not just the process of going off to college. It's also the first job, the moving far away. So it's going to take a while for us to make that emotional shift. What are some of the things that we should be doing to help us shift?
Well, understand the grief process. The grief process, you have the different, you know, the famous Elizabeth Kubler-Ross stages of grief. Denial is there for a reason. You know, it's just, it kind of buffers us. We do things almost like a robot. You know, we're just kind of on that forward march mode, and we don't even realize it. So I think part of that stage is denial. And the next stage is bargaining. you know, maybe my attempt to believe that, oh, well, I'm still involved with my daughter's life. Let me just keep flying to Florida and hang out with her. And she hasn't really left. I mean, that's that little thing that we do to ourselves. I fixed up her room. I did all these weird little things, and that might have just been the bargaining phase. It's not a bad thing. It's just the things that we go through. I did go through depression, absolutely, and it felt frustrating because I'm a professional, and I had expectations that I shouldn't, you know, I'm above this because I know this information, and yet it's just what we go through. No one's above it or below it. So when you find yourself just feeling depressed and just without a purpose, and you're like, what's my life about? And you have those questions, and you just feel miserable and self-pity, and you really want your kids. In fact, I think I did some of the stereotypical Jewish guilt mom thing to my daughter. Why aren't you, you know, I turned into that mother. You're not calling me. You're not doing this. And it was, I'd catch myself in the act, and I just tried not to beat myself up over it. It was just kind of where I was. Then there was anger. And I did have anger. I felt frustrated. Like, why isn't she calling me? What the heck? I've done all this for her. I accidentally threw that in her face once. I feel embarrassed about that. I have that in my what I wrote on Psychology Today that you read. And yet, there I was, fallible human being, getting angry. Catch yourself in the act and just kind of pull back, which is what I did. And then I apologized to her. And then finally, acceptance. And honestly, 4.5, 5 years later, I'm realizing, oh, she's not coming back to the nest. She's on her own. She's so highly independent. Now, some kids do move back. So I hear a lot of parents complain, like, I wish they'd leave the nest. Whatever. My daughter was independent. She's gone. I have acceptance of it. I get that. It just took some time. So I urge all people to be gentle with yourself. Take this time. And what ends up emerging are some of those old dreams that maybe you shelved, and you realize, oh, I'm not too old for these things. And that's what I found in my life and what I've seen in other people's lives, is that some old dream about writing or about joining a sport or whatever passion that filled you before you had kids that for whatever reason you just stopped doing, and then maybe at some point you thought, oh, I'm too old. Now I see people doing that. Or they change careers to something they're more passionate about. And they give up the kind of golden handcuffs job. So there's all different kinds of things that happen that I think people do to transition to it. And the biggest thing is honor your own path. Each child is different. Each person is different. Each empty nest transition is different. Do what works for you and trust your intuition.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Kimberly Key is a psychotherapist and founder of Encompass Work and Family, a life balance consulting firm in Austin, Texas. For more information on empty nest syndrome and Kimberly Key, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org.
Coming up on next week's show, a serious injury or illness needs immediate medical attention. Do you go to an urgent care clinic or an emergency room? We talk with an ER physician about emergency room basics. Everything you need to know when facing a medical emergency. Plus, are you overwhelmed by clutter? We get advice from Dr. Robin Zazio of the TV show Hoarders, part 2 of our conversation with her.
Thanks so much for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on iTunes and at wrvo.org/takecare. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.